five of your.
You can't do it off the bat.
And it comes under the heading of the suffering and glory of the servant. We are all like sheep that gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he had suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The second reading comes from John 15, 1 through 8, found on page 1676 of your Pew Bibles. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ellen. Our message this week is going to be found coming from the book of Acts, chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 26 through 40. I know the bulletin here says 49, if you find the other 9 verses, you want to let us know. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, to the desert road that goes down before Jerusalem to Gaza.
Nope.
So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Well, then Philip ran off to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Well, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. But the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as the lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked, "Oh, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Well, then Joel began with that very passage of scripture. He told them the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch, they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord settled him. It took Philip away. And the eunuch did not even see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, he appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, we can thank you once again for the word that you have given to us. Help us this morning to put it into our own lives. Help us to reach others in our community, those around us, with the same word, this same will that you have, so that we may love one another in the way that you loved us. Guide us this morning in all we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, if you missed Sunday school, you really missed a treat. They're starting to giggle because they know exactly what I'm going to talk about. So we had quite a lively discussion, and we talked about how we all hear God, you know, and how he reaches out and he asks us to do certain things. And many of you know, we have a few enthusiasts around here who like to carry a sidearm all the time. And so we hear stories about how people went off to witness, and when they followed God's promptings, and other ones who were kind of hesitant because they weren't unsure of what they were supposed to do. And our gun enthusiast, he had to talk about being always ready. He's armed. He's armed and dangerous. Pretty much. Well, the spouse got to say, "I wouldn't be surprised to find that man in the shower with his sidearm." Well, I prompted one of the other Sunday school class members to say, "The only question I have is I want to know how you keep your powder dry." Well, when I read that, God led me to this story this morning in Acts 8 about Philip and the Ethiopian. I really had to ask myself, I says, why am I going here? What is God trying to tell us? Well, he's trying to tell us how to keep our powder dry. He tells us how to be prepared when we're witnessing. This is God's plan. How to witness. He gives us here Philip. And he talks to Philip in the Ethiopian. But the first problem is we usually have a hard time understanding God. So I found this little story. You know, we're kind of like this divorce woman. She went to the lawyer. She says, I need a divorce right now. And so the lawyer, he looked at her, he says, so what's your reasoning? He says, he really looks at her. He says, so what are your grounds? And she looks back at him and says, well, we got about 5 acres. He says, no, I mean, what's your grudge against your husband? Oh, we don't have a grudge, we have a carport. he looks right at her and says, so does he beat you up? And she looks back and says, no, I beat him up every morning. Then again. exasperated. I mean, the man is really exasperated. He says, so why do you want a divorce? He says, well, you can't communicate with that man. You know, but I got to think about that. I got to think about this. I'm thinking communication is a big problem with God to begin with, right? Because you know what? How do we hear it? And once we do hear him, do we trust him? Do we believe him? And that's pretty much what we talked about last time. Is trusting God when you hear him. And how do you hear him? Do you hear him when we read the word? Does he speak to your heart? Does he touch something in you that says, well, I never looked at it that way. Maybe I should go and do this. And then do you go and do it? You know, we always end up with excuses, it seems like, because we don't act when he tells us that. I made up a list of excuses I wrote down and I wanted to share with you because you really need to think about them today. So, we all have hearing problems when it comes to God. I know I have a hearing problem. It sounds like we got a hearing problem fixed here today in our recording. You don't have to listen to that. So what do you think? Well, I got to think about this. I got to write some of these hearing problems we have down. We had an offering yet. So I want you to ask yourself today about it. It says, so you have a hard time hearing God because maybe you're too busy. You can't take the time to listen. Is it because you're afraid you won't hear him right? Or maybe it's because you don't really know God. So how can you know his voice when he does speak? Maybe it's just rebellion. I know I had that problem for a long time. You hear him, you just don't want to follow through. Or all the other voices around you. It's drowning out what God is saying to you. When I look at Philip and how he acted when he came upon the sea of Gideon, you have to know a little bit about his history. Because we can see God at work, we can see the miracles God is performing. Think about this. Now, Philip, if you read the chapter 4, tells us he's in Samaria. And he's really caught on fire for God. I mean, people are coming to the Lord, they're being saved, God's working through him. Demons are being cast out. If you read that whole chapter, it's like, it's amazing what's going on. All of a sudden, God comes up and says, Phil, I want you to take the road from Jerusalem to Egypt. He didn't tell them why. Who do you think he had to do that? I mean, he sent them out to this desert road. Who knows what's going on? He doesn't really have a reason. I just said okay, I'm out of here. Off he goes. He's headed for Samaria. He's out of Samaria. He's headed for Egypt. Well, I mean, going down the road to Egypt, all of a sudden, he sees his chariot sitting there. Well, in his chariot, there's this Ethiopian. And he's reading the word, and the Spirit comes to him and says, follows my first instruction. I want you to take step two. I want you to go over there. I want you to see that Ethiopian talking. So what's Philip doing? He goes over and he sees this Ethiopian. And he hears an Ethiopian read these scriptures. And he sees him and he says, hey, buddy, so what you reading? I mean, this is the exact words of what the scripture tells us, but pretty much so we can understand. The Ethiopian said, well, I've been reading this and I'm not certain who it's talking about. And that's the same scripture we read in Isaiah this morning. He was reading about the Christ. And so, and how scripture tells us that, starting with that, Philip did what? He taught him about Jesus. He taught him about what the scripture was all about, what Christ did for us. It doesn't tell us exactly all that he told him, but it does tell us that he told him enough that the Ethiopian came around and wanted to be baptized. And then it tells us another really strange thing, and it took me a long time to put my head around it, but understand it. But the Bible said, then the Spirit took him, once they baptized him, the Spirit took up me being in those opens. Can you imagine that? I thought I was reading Star Trek when I first read this verse. What is going on here? Then it all started making sense. God gives us this lesson because he knows, just because he sends us somewhere, we get an opportunity to witness, doesn't make us responsible for them, or what their decision is afterwards. He has other plans for us. That's his responsibility. Because he seeks us. He saw it after the seed he opened in you. It gave him the right spirit to ask the right questions. So what is God's plan to witness? So I made a list. It's kind of nice that I get to make a list now and then. I never dared to make a list for my wife. That would be dangerous. But God lets me make lists. Because he usually gives me one. And when I made up this list, I got to thinking, okay, so what is the real message we're learning here about? How do we witness? How does God come in person? What does he expect to happen? So the first thing he wants us to do is learn to listen. He says, listen to what God says and act on it. As hard as that may be. But when God nudges us, do something, go somewhere. I found the best thing is to go do it right then. Don't give the devil a chance. Just go do it. It doesn't matter. Don't be afraid. Because what did we just read in the Gospel of John? Verse 5. Let's start right there. Verse 5 in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He kind of wants to take the danger out of it if we go. Verse 8, he said, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, if God is going to send you somewhere, is he going to send you somewhere that's going to bring shame on him? I don't think so. That's why when he told the leader he was being successful to go somewhere out in the middle of the desert, he was confident that he was going to be successful again. So he listened to God. And he just did it. And when he got there, I think God is teaching us to ask the right questions. Ask thought-provoking questions. I mean, when Saul got there, what do you see? He asked me, he says, so what do you read? And it brought on the conversation of God. He learned a lot because he understood that, yes, this is a eunuch. He was probably a believer, maybe not, but he'd learned that the true God was probably in Judaism, from the Judaism that he worshipped in the temple. And he was just coming from there. But he still didn't understand. He didn't understand God. And in his understanding of God, Philip had an opportunity to help him to understand who Jesus is. And he found Christ. He found a Savior. He found a reason for life, because that's what he was looking for. We're all looking for a purpose in our lives. And that's what Christ gives to us, his purpose. And we need to share that. That becomes our opportunity. That's how we bear fruit, is to witness. So when we go somewhere, and God sends us someplace, and sends us to someone else, it's usually another eunuch. Because there's all kinds of them out there. And they're all looking for God. They're all looking for purpose in their life. So it's us to meet them where they are. Ask a thought-provoking question. And then what you do is listen to them. The next letter of Jesus. This morning, I'm
sitting in Sunday school again, we got talking about different conversations, and we always have a tendency to stray off. We go past our Sunday school lesson for the day, and I found an opportunity just to bring everybody back to what it's all really about. The same is true when we meet anyone, anywhere in this world. When God sends us out, we meet somebody new, we find they have questions, they want to know what to believe, and God will give us the answer. We just have to tell our story. We have to learn how to testify, how to relate to others, how God has told us that we need to love. We have to testify from our own experience. You see, Philip, he wasn't no great theologian. Wasn't like Christianity had been around a long time. The only way he had to go, and the only person he had to follow, anything he had to follow, came from the Spirit. Came from his experience, how God had shown himself to him. We have that same opportunity in everything we do. Fourth, don't make it harder than it is. It's hard enough already, getting out into this world. We don't want to have to read anything into what's going on to anybody else. We just have to show them Christ. Show them that God loves us and he cares for us. Too often we make it harder than it really is. We assume the worst. I mean, if I speak to somebody about this, they're gonna cancel me out. You know what? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak to the world. That's our mission. That's how we bear fruit. That's how we plan. We have to speak up. I told them that God wants them. God cares for them. And if we want the truth, it's in his word. The fifth thing we need to learn, we need to learn to do God. Don't stop. Don't let others deter you. Because the only truth we're going to know, the only truth that Philip knew, comes from Christ. If we accept Christ in our lives, then we become believers. We'll cry out just like you do. I want to be baptized. I'm baptized in the day. Baptize me in the word, in the truth. So that I might know what I'm supposed to do, that I might have eternal life. That's what this message is all about today. That's how we stay armed and dangerous. That's how we keep our powder dry, is by witnessing. And by witnessing by what God's plan is. So when we leave here today, and you go to reach out to somebody else, you have this little bit of fear in you. Think about what happened to Christ when he was baptized. Went into the water, when he came out, said, God, said, this is my son, my only beloved son. And I am well pleased with him. Because when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God. When he sees you, he sees Christ. He sees his son. And you will provide for. Because he is divine, we are prayer. He wants us to bear. Father, bless us this day. Help us in all we do. Guide us and care for us and give us the courage to step out, to speak up, so that others may know the truth, that they may know you. Guide us in all we do. Be with us as we come before you this morning, as we remember you at this communion table. We ask.